You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. And it's sunny, but very mild, warm morning here in early February in Vancouver. I got no complaints.
There was a news story. Maybe for the first time in 43 years, the city of Vancouver will go snow-free.
I think so. It's very mild, and also it's been very dry.
Well, we've had a lot of atmospheric rivers, but in between it's been nice.
Yeah.
I mean, today's a sunny day.
We're overdue for some rain to get the numbers back to averages. So.
Yeah, well, more rain expected, I think, starting on Sunday, just in time for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Now, taking a look at some of the headlines today, are people excited that Kevin Warsh is going to replace Jerome Powell as the head of the Fed? Will it make any difference?
Actually, I know a guy in the business who originally came to Vancouver a long time ago when he was with the Bank of Canada. So he's the only guy I know who is a what has been a central banker, so I wanted to talk to him. Now, this guy, Warsh, he seems a little more practical than most of the people who have been head of the Fed have been just straight ordinary, you know, economists of the Keynesian intrusion persuasion. And so I think this is interesting. I'm going to follow it. Now, they really can't do anything about the financial markets, but at least he won't try as hard as some of the other fools who think that when a boom is on, nothing can go wrong. And then you get the hit, and then the Fed will almost immediately say, well, first of all, let's say, with the Fed there as lender of last resort, there wouldn't be a crisis. And then there is a crisis, and then the whole system says, oh, yeah, without the Fed, it would have been a whole lot worse. So what was impossible, a crash, and then as could only be ended, which was supposed to be impossible, can only be ended by the Fed. It's some very, very strange thinking out there on central banking.
Now, of course, the thinking is President Trump wanted lower interest rates, and Jerome Powell resisted that, even though the Fed lowered rates at a record pace never seen before.
Yeah, now this is where, unfortunately, Trump is just dead wrong. He on two aspects. One, he thinks the Fed can lower rates, and two, he thinks it's a good idea, but you've got this old rule, and I've talked about it for hundreds and hundreds of years. Short rates, such as treasury bills, go up in the boom, and they go down in the bust. And, for example, the T-bill rate in 1929 got up to about 5% that June, and then they started heading down. I take it as anticipating the bust. And then now recently the bill rates were up about 4.35, and the key in May, I think it was, and then the T-bill rate has been declining quite distinctively. So I wrote an essay on it a few years ago that the worst thing that can happen is short rates going down. Because again, I'll repeat it, short rates up in a boom, short rates down in the bust. So Trump is standard thinking on this, and but at least the proposed central banker, Warsh, I think he's going to be a little more practical than previous guys who have been head of the Fed, so to speak. So, short rates down is bad.
Well, how do you convince people of that? And they, again, there's the perception that because of the Fed setting the short-term rates, that will bring mortgages down. Are mortgages set by short-term rates?
No, they're longer duration. So they, and oftentimes there's a gap between what's happening in T-bill rates and what's happening in long treasuries. And then you get into a post-bubble contraction and junk bonds have been very much in favor for a couple of years and have been bulletproof. And they reached a high a couple of weeks ago and just been doing sideways since. But there is no concept of risk out there. So we get into hard times, lower grade stuff such as junk, they just get decimated in price. Because many, many junk issues will default. And then you also have the specter of investment-grade corporate bonds being downgraded to junk on the way to default. And then sometimes the rating agency can kind of get behind events, and they have to do three notches down all at once, rather than oops. So interest rates are fascinating, and believe me, Jim, there's nothing anybody can do to change the notion that falling rates are good.
President Trump also wants to cap credit card interest rates at 10%, and people in the industry say that will be very harmful. Because the reason they have high rates is that they're giving credit cards to high-risk people. That will remove the possibility of credit for millions of people who have to take those high-interest rate cards. They will have no access to money.
Yeah, no, I think if the credit instrument is there, it'll be abused by the public. So I think Trump is right. And yes, interest rate charges on credit cards are very, very high, but it's the way the market has been working, and if they force out all the low or the high-risk users, and then you can go to who knows, 10 or 12% or something like that on it. That should cover it, so... Yeah, it's a tough situation to be in, but the problem for the last while has been money has been too easy in by way of lending to everybody.
There are the people who fall into the trap of the payday loans where they charge like the maximum interest rate, whatever that is, like 30% a month or whatever.
Oh, no, that one has gone on for, hundreds of years. It's just, it's the way market forces it. But it should be reduced as much as possible.
We'll take a look at more headlines that caught Bob's eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Headline, one reason only for Germany's heating gas crisis is hardcore dumbass energy policy.
Yeah, that's from the site that I hang out at. What's up with that? The guy's a very accomplished meteorologist, climate science guy, and it's a good site to look at. So, but anyways, the dumbass energy policy, I just loved it. Not just dumbass, but hardcore dumbass. Yep,
what makes it so dumb, Bob?
Because it doesn't work. Now,
What are they trying to do that doesn't work?
Oh, well, first of all, for the first time in almost a billion years of life on Earth, warming is bad. And if you take a look throughout the history, warming has been good for critters on the Earth. And so the first hysterical pitch is that climate warming is bad. And the next is that it's controlled by CO2 molecules. Now, they are just a simple little molecule, and it's touted that it holds heat in or reflects heat in. Well, that little molecule doesn't have a shiny side down. And whenever a photon of energy comes by, it does a little wiggle, and that energy continues. So it doesn't hold energy, and it doesn't reflect energy back to the Earth. So it is nonsense scientifically, but it is used to control people. Now, and I've mentioned this before, in the 1500s, the problem was an unrelenting cooling trend with more rain than usual. So it made the growing of crops precarious, and even the grass for cattle was very poorly, so even animals were doing poorly. So the magistrates then decided that it was witches were causing the bad weather, so thousands of women, and particularly in Germany, were executed. That was quite limited. There was only one cause of the bad weather, and that was witches. Whereas nowadays, our modern priesthoods and magistrates are much more democratic, because it's not just women causing the bad weather, it's men and children, and right down to infants, are now causing the bad weather. So is this a score for democracy or what?
Well, a NASA study has found that in about 10,000 years, the Earth is going to start losing oxygen because the sun is expanding. At one point, it's going to become a red giant, in fact, encompassing the Earth. So, now there's a climate change you got to worry about.
And it is, Jim, it's for forever away.
Yes.
But what we're dealing with here now is we're on a very pleasant interglacial. And the warm spells, you know, it was pretty nasty with the little ice age down to the 1800s. And since then, we've been on a balmy, nice, lovely warming trend. And these things vary. But the point to get across is that warming is very friendly for us, and the warming is caused by solar mechanics, our orbital system, the way the length of the seasons varies, and the tilt of the Earth varies, and there's all kinds of things just straight in the mechanics of our solar system that really force the climate. And there's a researcher, Nir Shaviv is his name, and maybe 20 years ago, this guy's a top physicist. Anyways, he was asked about global warming, and he just went along with what the newspapers were saying, CO2 and stuff like that. Then later on, he took a serious look at it, realized just how wrong he was, and he identified climate cycles right out to 23 million year cycles based on cosmic rays coming in from a way out there. So the climate of our solar system is clearly understood now, and in many places very well presented.
I have seen two studies now that say the one country that will benefit the most from a warming climate is Canada, because it will reveal now hidden mineral resources that have been locked under ice and snow until now.
I've worked in the Northwest Territories in the summer. Got there in May, landed with a bush plane on skis on the ice and off to loaded, and it got up to 90 degrees there. And that was many years ago. So the summer seasons in the north can get pretty warm already. So the global warming faction is demented practically, but it's the purpose of the lies and distortions is to control your life.
Yes, with carbon taxes. Although, Bob, as we know, climate is governed by the Earth's orbit,
yeah.
Solar activity,
yeah.
And volcanic eruptions.
Yeah.
And do you see taxes affecting any of those?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, our Prime Minister Carney, he made himself famous in central banking circles about 15 years ago by suddenly discovering global warming, and you had to control the climate, and it could be done through central banks. And these central banks would control the climate by controlling what corporations were doing. And he presented a paper to the central banking community, and he is a green nut control freak. And he is very dangerous.
Now, from Zero Hedge, it continues this topic, why the hype phase of wind and solar is over.
I like that one. Yeah, why the hype phase is over. Yeah.
Now, something that's not getting a lot of attention is using tidal power. Now, the complaint about solar and wind, very weather-dependent. You don't know if it's going to be a sunny day or not. You don't know if the wind's going to blow. But we do know the tides. We have precise charts on them. And because of Vancouver Island along the coast of British Columbia, the tides are all different along the coast. So if you put a series of barges that use tidal energy to generate power, but nobody's doing that. There was a fishing launch.
They've been tried, Jim.
Yeah, no, but they use these barges.
And wherever it is, they get a huge tidal bore. As the tide changes, a whole wave goes rolling up the channel.
Yeah.
And then it goes out, and they have tried to generate electricity from that, but it was impractical. So now practical is, of course, electrical power, hydropower. Practical is using coal. Even the best practical is using natural gas. And the really good one is nuclear power. And the superstitions out there are against nuclear power. And they got this idea that you can run a modern economy based on windmills and solar cells. I mean, Prime Minister Carney, I saw him on a presentation, and he's got this idea that along in Saskatchewan, say, they can build windmills and solar cells and export the electricity to the United States. I mean, the further south you go in the United States, the more effective solar cells become, and they're still not practical. They don't last as long as they expected. You got huge areas of solar cells that are no longer effective, and you got some regions where the windmills have got old and tired, and what the hell do you do with these blades that are sort of 100 meters long? I mean, they got a problem out there with these things, and they will be bypassed. And nowadays you can build some fairly effective small modular nuclear plants relatively close to where the customer is. So we're on the break, on the verge of a tremendous advance in practical power.
Now, another headline for us from Zero Hedge. PayPal suffers worst drop in 4 years after profit miss. The CEO is set to step down because of it.
Yeah. Yeah, when PayPal gets a huge drop, that's noteworthy. Yep.
Now, is that because people are using other ways to transfer money?
Jim, PayPal suffered the worst drop in 4 years. That's the story.
Okay. I always look, you know, what's behind the story there.
Yeah, yeah. Well.
Now, another headline here from Zero Hedge. Layoffs in January, the highest to start a year since 2009. Canada, I know, lost 25,000 jobs when they expected a 5,000 loss. Yet they say the unemployment rate fell. Is that because once you have been on unemployment insurance long enough, you get dropped off, and then officially you're no longer unemployed? You just
right.
disappear.
No, I don't have anything to do with employment or unemployment numbers. They're just a whole lot of bafflegab.
And now our last ticket on Sunday, it'll be the Super Bowl. LX at Super Bowl 60. By the way, the Super Bowl, much, much younger than the Canadian Grey Cup, which is well over 100 years old. Anyway, so Super Bowl ticket prices have plummeted by 30% just days before the Seahawks and Patriots kick off.
Well, they have an issue with the halftime entertainment. They got some woke issue as slated, and the football establishment has been trying to change that because it's highly offensive to football fans, and so somebody has put up an alternative. What is the one they're pushing? Is the Mad Bunny or something? Right?
Bad Bunny.
Yeah.
Well, he won
Bad
three
Bunny.
Grammys, including Record of the Year, which
well,
has never been done by a Latin
it's not
performer.
Football fans.
Oh.
So somebody has set up a whole alternate system that you can view an attractive halftime entertainment rather than a woke halftime entertainment. Major blunder.
Well, to me, I don't care who the halftime performer is. I'm cheering for the Seahawks. I've been a Seahawk fan since I moved to Vancouver in 1982.
I'm very careful in how I determined who I was going to back, and it's Seattle because they have the nicest uniforms.
Oh, you're not wrong there. Now, but having been, you know, a sports reporter for much of my career, I was lucky enough to meet several of the Seattle players. And my favorite was Michael Jackson, not the singer, the linebacker.
Okay.
And he was here in Vancouver promoting junior football, Canadian junior football, which Americans don't have. In Canada, men who don't go to university but still want to play football play junior football. And so it's like junior hockey.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Whereas... as you know, some U.S. colleges, the guys playing football, I don't know if they could even sign their names, and yet they're playing. Here, if you go to a university and play football, you actually have to be, you have to qualify to go to university on an academic basis. You can't get in just because you can throw or catch a football.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bob, always fun chatting.
Yeah, Jim, good to be with you, and we'll look forward to a week hence. Oh, yeah, I'm liking that. A week hence. I'm throwing that word around. Hence.
Okay. Hints away. My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.